This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7:37 in the morning, Monday the 24th of February. And while the political state of play keeps us on the edge of our seats, business still has to go on as usual. And we're going to give you a chance for normalcy over the next half hour. So on the breakfast grill today, later on, after the 8 o'clock news bulletin, Chuang, you're going to be speaking with Li Mengli, CEO of Razer FinTech.
That's right. So this is the FinTech arm of the Hong Kong listed gaming firm Razer. And if you don't know Razer, that means you don't game, because these guys make cutting edge laptops, keyboards, mouse pads, you know, those earphones which give you a really amazing experience. So they own a lot of stuff, including THX, the theater experience thing. What is interesting about this grill is you just get a picture of how fast the traditional world order, when banks are concerned, is being disrupted by the fintech guys, because they're coming in on different slices of the equation. They're coming in on very specific verticals. And in this case, they're going into the youth market, the millennials market, who is not being served by the banks right now.
All right, and that's good. That's a conversation that's going to be happening later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Stay tuned. But now, taking a look at what's been happening on the international stage, the COVID-19 outbreak is entering its third month. As of Sunday, China cases have risen to nearly 77,000 with 2,442 fatalities. New cases in South Korea and Italy have also jumped, while another death has been recorded in Japan.
Well, the WHO is concerned over the likelihood of COVID-19 becoming a pandemic when disease outbreak there's rampant outbreak in multiple countries and continents simultaneously. So meanwhile, in China, part of the uncertainty over whether the outbreak is escalating or subsiding is changing the diagnostic methods in the Hubei province. Last week, China changed its criteria again, and this resulted in fewer cases recorded. Now, just how cases are diagnosed and how they are confirmed does have a big impact on the official tallies of the cases.
And of course, on Friday, there was monetary and fiscal policy measures being announced by the Chinese top leaders. And of course, that signals a greater focus on reviving the Chinese economy that is being pummeled by the virus.
So joining us on the line for some insight this morning is Tommy Shi, Head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank in Singapore. Good morning, Tommy. Thank you for joining us. So what is the latest update on the development of the outbreak that you have?
Oh, well, hi, morning. I think the outbreak is pointing towards the right direction. So we have seen the significant decline of the new confirmed case in both Hubei province and the outside Hubei province. And so I think, to me, one of the most encouraging signs is really the decline of the new confirmed case outside Hubei province. So as of Sunday, so the latest number was about 13 new cases yesterday. So that's one of the lowest numbers we have ever seen. So I think this, to me, is quite encouraging, because we know China has been encouraging the people coming back to work. So we have start to see the migrant workers traveling around the countries. So one of the concerns actually is really we are going to see whether we are going to see the second wave contagion. But so far, there's no evidence of that. So that should give China more confidence to bring the migrant workers back to work. So which means we are going to see China is going to restart the operation soon.
But Tommy, are you concerned over the reliability of the data coming out from China, because they keep changing the matrix?
Yes, there's a couple of changes, but to me, I'm not particularly concerned because most of the changes actually is in the Hubei province rather than the outside Hubei province. So I can just touch maybe about 2 points. I mean, the first point is inside the Hubei province, why China treat Hubei differently from other parts of the region, provinces, is because last time we have the huge outbreak in the epicenter of the Hubei province. So we are basically seeing the run on the medical resource, run on the public health. That's why I think initially the stage is that Hubei actually underreported the numbers, because they don't have enough tools to identify the number of the patients. But after the February, we start to see China mobilize a lot of medical workers to Hubei. Now we have about 40,000 medical workers has been sent to Hubei province. So China has enough tools to detect. That's why I think they actually widened the definition of the confirmed case and the suspect case. That's why we saw one day this huge jump of the confirmed case, because they used so-called clinical diagnosis method to confirm the numbers. But now,
Tommy, it seems as if you've got a positive viewpoint on the containment measures by the government and the people on the ground. What is your sense of the economic numbers that already coming out of China for the first quarter of this year? How confident are you that the output numbers will still be maintained?
Well, I mean, frankly speaking, I think the first quarter could be quite difficult quarter for China because, simply, I mean, even though we start to see the resumption of the production right now in China, but we are still way below the normal level. So, I mean, for example, most of the, let's say, the electricity production could be only like 50% below the nominal levels, which means I think the Q1 could be very weak numbers. I mean, for myself, I do think, you know, it's a good chance for us to see like at least 2%, you know, slash from the baseline kind of the scenario for the first quarter GDP.
So, Tommy, what other policy measures can we expect? Because the PBOC has already kind of cut rates, right?
Yes, correct. So I think right now what China can do is via both monetary policy and the fiscal policy. So if you look at the tone from the President Xi Jinping over the weekend, I think he's basically talking about the fiscal policy to be more proactive. So, I mean, one of the possible ways we are seeing, you know, like the tax cut from China, and China also announced to lower the contribution of the company, like the pension fund, or those like, you know, housing provident fund kind of thing. So I think basically the idea is try to, you know, to lower the burden for the companies, to make sure the company is able to stay afloat, even without the revenue for 2 to 3 months. I think that's basically the bottom line right now for China.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Tommy. And that was Tommy Xi, Head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank in Singapore. And a very interesting situation that we are seeing in China, particularly because the Xi Jinping government has announced that they're going to be doing that they're going to be conducting stimulus measures, but they've also said that they want to prop up consumption. And that's that I think is going to be probably the most difficult aspect of their initiative, considering the fact that, you know, the Chinese people just aren't spending on traveling for fear of the virus outbreak. So this is something that we will be keeping an eye on. But right now we have some messages for you. And then up next, we're speaking with Karim Razlan of KRA Group for more analysis on what's happening in local politics. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.